The front door closed behind her, and nothing moved after that. No text, no call, no sound from inside the house. Katie Bonnock had driven to her ex-husband's home in Florida, believing the conversation would be brief. She told people she would be back. She never was. Hours passed, then the night. By the next day, concern turned into fear. Her phone went silent at a time that did not fit her life. When officers arrived for a welfare check, the house looked ordinary from the street. No broken windows, no signs of panic, just a quiet structure holding on to what happened inside. The first step across the threshold changed everything. What investigators found would shift the case from missing person to homicide in minutes. This was not a disappearance that unraveled slowly. This was a visit that ended in violence, driven by jealousy, control, and rage. The question was not whether something terrible happened. The question was how far it went and who would be held responsible for it. Chapter 1, The Last Visit. Katie Bonnock arrived at the house during daylight hours. The neighborhood was calm. Cars lined the street, lawns were trimmed. Nothing about the setting suggested danger. She parked, walked to the door, and went inside. That moment became the last verified sighting of her alive. The visit was to her ex-husband's home. The relationship had ended, but contact had not fully stopped. Friends later described unresolved tension between them. There were ongoing personal issues that had not been settled. This was not a casual stop. It was a face-to-face conversation that carried emotional weight. Phone records later showed activity consistent with her arrival. Messages sent earlier in the day suggested she expected to return home afterward. There was no indication she planned to stay overnight. No packed bag, no goodbye texts, nothing that suggested she was leaving her life behind. Inside the house, only two people were present. That fact would become central to the investigation. At the time, no one outside knew what was happening behind the closed door. As evening approached, Katie did not respond to calls. At first, it did not raise alarm. Missed messages happened. But as the hours passed, concern grew. Katie was known for staying in touch. Silence was unusual. By the next morning, her absence could no longer be explained away. A concerned party contacted law enforcement to report her missing. Officers gathered basic information, last known location, last contact. The ex-husband's address quickly became a focus. Law enforcement classified the situation as a welfare check. There was not yet confirmation of a crime. No body had been found. No public report of violence. Officers arrived at the residence with routine expectations. From the outside, the house appeared normal. Doors closed, windows intact, no visible signs of struggle. The scene did not announce itself. Officers knocked. There was no response. They made entry under welfare check authority. The air inside was still. The house was quiet. As they moved through the interior, small details began to register. Items out of place, an absence that felt wrong. Then they saw it. Evidence inside the home indicated violence had occurred. This was no longer a missing person case. It was a crime scene. Officers secured the location and called for detectives. The house was sealed. Movement was restricted. What began as concern had escalated into urgency. At that point, investigators knew only one thing for certain. Katie Bonnock had entered this house. She had not walked back out, and something inside had ended her visit in the most final way possible. The question now pressing the investigation was simple and heavy. What happened between the moment she stepped inside and the moment the house went silent? Chapter 2, What the House Revealed. Crime scene investigators entered the house hours after the initial welfare check. By then, the structure was sealed and quiet. Every room was treated as potential evidence. Nothing was assumed. Nothing was ignored. Blood was the first clear indicator. It was not confined to a single surface. Patterns suggested movement, a struggle. This was not an injury that happened in one place and stopped. Investigators documented stains on floors and walls. The amount alone ruled out an accident. Cleanup attempts were also visible. Areas had been wiped down. Certain surfaces were cleaner than others. The effort was uneven and rushed. To investigators, that mattered. It suggested panic, not planning. Someone had tried to erase what happened and failed. The house itself began to tell a timeline. Furniture placement indicated disruption. Objects were displaced in ways that did not match normal use. This was not a fall. This was violence. Forensic teams processed the scene methodically. Samples were collected, photographs taken, each room was logged. The goal was not speed, it was certainty. At the same time, detectives worked the human side of the case. They reconstructed who had been inside the house and when. There was no evidence of forced entry, no sign of an outside intruder. The focus narrowed quickly. The ex-husband was interviewed. His early statements attempted to minimize the visit. He described it as brief. He suggested Katie left on her own. Those statements were treated as unverified claims, not facts. Digital evidence began to contradict him. Phone records showed no outgoing communication from Katie after a certain point. Location data placed her device inside the house well past the time she was said to have left. Investigators noted inconsistencies. Timelines shifted between interviews, details changed, small contradictions accumulated. None of them alone proved guilt. Together, they raised serious concern. Jealousy and control emerged as themes during the investigation. Past relationship dynamics were examined. Witnesses described tension, arguments, emotional volatility. These were contextual factors, not proof, but they helped explain motive. The medical examiner's findings brought clarity to what happened inside the house. Katie's cause of death was determined. The injuries were consistent with a violent assault. This was homicide. The sequence mattered. The forensic analysis showed sustained force, not a single blow. The timing aligned with the period when only one other person was known to be present. By the end of the forensic phase, investigators had established several facts. Violence occurred inside the home. Katie Bonnach did not leave alive, attempts were made to conceal the scene, and the ex-husband's account did not match the evidence. What remained was the most critical step, turning evidence into accountability. The case was moving from suspicion to confrontation. Chapter 3, The Weight of Proof. Detectives returned to the ex-husband with a different posture. This time, the conversation was guided by evidence, not questions. Timelines were laid out, phone records, location data, forensic conclusions. Each piece reduced the space for denial. His story shifted again. Details changed under pressure. Statements that once sounded confident became cautious. Investigators documented every adjustment. Consistency mattered now more than tone. The forensic findings anchored the case. The medical examiner's report established homicide as the manner of death. Injuries matched the evidence found in the house. The violence was deliberate and sustained. The timeline aligned with the period when no one else was present. Digital records closed remaining gaps. Katie's phone stopped moving after a specific point. No messages, no calls, no signs of departure. Data showed her device never left the residence. That fact alone contradicted the claim that she walked out alive. With evidence consolidated, prosecutors were briefed, the case moved forward, charges were filed. The transition from investigation to prosecution was deliberate and methodical. Nothing was rushed. The goal was durability, not headlines. In court, the facts were presented in sequence. Investigators testified to what they observed. Forensic experts explained the evidence. Digital specialists outlined timelines. Each witness reinforced the same conclusion from a different angle. The defense attempted to introduce doubt. It focused on gaps in interpretation. But the physical evidence did not shift. The digital record did not change. The scene spoke louder than argument. When the outcome was delivered, it carried finality but not relief. A verdict did not restore what was lost. It confirmed responsibility. It established truth within the limits of the law. Family impact statements followed. They describe Katie as more than a case, a daughter, a presence, a life interrupted by violence rooted in jealousy and control. Their words underscored the cost beyond the courtroom. The investigation concluded with a confirmed timeline: arrival, silence, violence, discovery, proof. Each step documented, each conclusion supported. Katie Bonnach's life ended during a visit that was never meant to be dangerous. The justice system addressed the crime, but it could not erase the absence left behind. The weight of proof settled the case. The weight of loss remained.